League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens, live together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. And DRS, a round of applause to you, my friend. You have made it to the final day of Hump or Hell Week, depending on who you ask. 2 weeks from today, our first football game of the year, the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. Tomorrow, the second half of the Major League Baseball season in 2025 resumes with a full slate Friday. So DRS, despite there being literally no live action on this Thursday, you have made it, and we still somehow, some way, have a jam-packed 3 hours here on TEL.
Look, there's some people out there in the military that are probably watching today, retired military, like, you know what? They're going through it. Like, I remember when I went through Bud's training for SEALs, and I remember when I went through the Marine Corps here. Like, that Donnie is going through exactly the same thing we all went through just to make it to the end of the week, where they talk about, like, just making it to the next minute, to the next hour, to the next commercial break, to the next lunch, to the next dinner, Ben. We are almost through our own hell week here, and I promise you, at the end of this, you will be a better man for it, a better woman for it, as we are waiting for the start of the football calendar to begin officially and Major League Baseball back in our lives. One more day, people. We made it 3 days. We can make it one more day.
I would compare hosting a sports television show during All-Star Week in Major League Baseball to exactly what DRS mentioned right there. Yeah. No Mark Zeno on the show today. Some scheduling conflicts, or so they say. So I guess we can't get his assessment. But we will have Keith Stewart a little bit later on. Because why? The fourth and final major of the year in golf, our oldest major in golf, is now officially underway across the pond in Northern Ireland. The 153rd playing of the Open Championship now underway. DRS, first tee times around 1:35 a.m. Eastern time for us here stateside. So the guys at the top of the leaderboard aren't just through their first four or five holes. They're already done. How about Jacob Skov-Olesen, 4 under par, tied atop alongside Hao Tong Li, those two guys, 4 under. What about the bigger names? Matt Fitzpatrick, who Keith Stewart referred to yesterday, 2 under par. The other guy he gave us in his early leans on the early line, the Flying Spaniard, John Rahm, at 2 under, as is the pre-tournament favorite in Scottie Scheffler, whose price, as we speak, approaches a 3-to-1 number. Scotty, 2 under through 8 DRS early at the Open in pursuit of the Claret Jug, a major that has eluded him to this point of his career.
How about the boy out there, Phil Mickelson, shooting a 71 under par, tied for 11th right now on the golf course. The old men could have a chance to shine this week. Now, when I woke up this morning, I look at the top of the leaderboard, like, oh, this looks like a terrible leaderboard, but not understanding that a lot of top flight golfers still have to enter into the field. And now we're starting to see some of those superstar names that we anticipated. You know, you take a look, by the way, Scottie Scheffler did drop a shot. He was 2 under.
Yeah,
he's back to 1 under, but the cream will rise to the top. And when I shut off, you know, the telecast to sort of get ready for the show, I heard them saying, like, we're expecting heavy rain shortly. So I don't know if it's raining now or not, but that's what we love about the Open Championship. Sometimes it's not about the golf courses. It's about the climate and the weather. And I hope we see a lot of that this week.
DRS, it stays light late there, so they can play into the early evening hours, which means some of those heavy hitters and pre-tournament frontrunners still yet to tee off. Bryson DeChambeau at 9:48. What does Jordan Spieth still have in the bag? The new father for a third or fourth time. Sorry, my voice cracked a little bit right there. Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland, and of course, the Northern Ireland native, not far from his home course of Hollywood, that being Rory McIlroy at 10:10 a.m. Eastern. Plenty more around the Open in just a matter of moments. Big news, though, yesterday in the association, as was reported, Bradley Beal gets bought out of the remainder of his contract by the Phoenix Suns and intends to sign with the LA Clippers on a two-year, $11 million deal. They are assembling an all-star team of 2017. Kawhi Leonard, Bradley Beal, and James Harden with the Clips.
Yeah, like, I understand that he could help the basketball team, but has he ever helped a basketball team ever at this point? Washington just stole money. The team stunk. Went to be the final piece to the big three in Phoenix. They absolutely stunk. Now he's like such a hot commodity, but a team goes, dude, take $100 million and just get out of here. And that guy's supposed to help you lead to a championship on an organization that's not used to winning championships? Yeah, I'm sure he'll be the steward from success there. Congratulations, Bradley Beal. Ski mask way. Stealing money all the way through in the NBA. You'll steal a little bit more out of Los Angeles.
13 seasons in the association. First 11 with the Wiz. The last two in Phoenix. Not exactly a resounding success during his time with the Suns, but that's how you could describe the KD, D-Book, and Bradley Beal era there in the Valley. How about another veteran at 36 years old? Future Hall of Famer Von Miller now makes his way, DRS, to the Washington Commanders. A Super Bowl champion, a seven-time All-Pro performer. He hasn't really been at that Pro Bowl level since 2019, but six sacks in 13 games last year with the Bills. The Commanders loading up in every which way, DRS, to make a charge to the NFC Championship game for a second straight year.
The oldest team in the NFL just got older with this move. Usually in the NFL, you're looking to get faster, hungrier, and younger, but not Washington. I don't mind this from a locker room perspective. If you can limit his snaps and be effective passing downs, you have to like it. Because the one thing that we know is he is a big name, but he doesn't come anymore with a big paycheck. So maybe you can get some. Hey, you tell me right now, Von Miller can play the entire season and get six sacks for Washington at probably a low price point. Why not take a flyer on that?
Isn't it funny they're the oldest team by average age in the NFL, and we think of them optimistically because of their rookie and record-setting quarterback entering year number two in Jaden Daniels. Caitlin Clark, DRS, last night did not play in the Fever's final game before the All-Star break in Brooklyn, putting her status for All-Star weekend in Indianapolis. Friday's three-point contest, Saturday as the captain of one of the two All-Star squads, very much in doubt.
Yeah, what's a shame, too, because this is the biggest stage for the WNBA to show off all of their all-stars, and the biggest all-star of them all probably should not be playing in this event. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, it is in Indiana, so it would be a homecoming of sorts for the championship-level player that you have. Tough scene, man. She's got to sit out, though. Don't go out there and shoot threes. I can move around a little. Don't just get healthy. Yeah. It'll be better for the league.
11th game missed this year for Clark. Without her, the Fever lost on the second leg of a back-to-back by 21 in BK. Big night for Breanna Stewart. She had 24, 11, and 7. Asia Wilson, 37 and 10, leading the Aces to a much-needed victory ahead of the break. And the Minnesota Lynx, DRS, stay perfect at home in the regular season, now 12 and 0.
By the way, back-to-back 30-point performances for Asia out there. So getting that dominance back out there for the Aces maybe makes a difference, Ben, down the stretch.
DRS, something we'll discuss a little bit later. 29 of 32 second-round picks remain unsigned from the 2025 NFL draft. It's a new development, as a lot of second-rounders are asking for as much guaranteed money as they can, trying to get some fully guaranteed contracts like their first-round selections. Yesterday, Alfred Collins signing with the 49ers, the 43rd overall pick, $9 million of his $10.3 million guaranteed over the four-year deal, DRS. That's a pretty big sign for the rest of the second round selections.
It's fantastic. They should all fall in line now. The first two guys got guaranteed money. Everybody else held out. This guy didn't. Got a lot of guarantees, but not fully. Now you'll see everybody get behind him and get in the training camp. Good sign for the NFL.
A lot of the rookies already reporting around the NFL, and more to come this week. The Texas Rangers paid Nathan Eovaldi his all-star bonus, despite the fact that Eovaldi wasn't an all-star, missed some time due to injury, but a 1.58 ERA in 16 starts this year. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Open Championship in 2025, our final major of the year in golf, now underway as we speak at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland across the pond. And DRS, the action started bright and early over there in the Irish Isles. And of course, for us, very early on this Thursday morning, around 1:30 a.m. Eastern time here stateside. Early on, a pair at the top that you probably do not know. Jacob Skov-Olesen and Hao Tong Li tied at the top of the leaderboard at 4 under par. But we do have some heavy hitters not far behind. Both Matt Fitzpatrick and John Rahm, major champions themselves, 2 under par. Xander Schauffele, our reigning Open champion, the champion golfer of the year, 1 under. Shane Lowry, the Irish Bear, who won the Open Championship the last time it was at Royal Portrush, also 1 under through his opening nine. And Scottie Scheffler was 2 under early DRS, just dropped a shot as we started here on TEL on this Thursday. He is still in red figures. He is 1 under.
Yeah, I would like to, and again, we can't obviously watch this live while we're doing a show because then we wouldn't be paying attention to some of these points. But I would like to see if the weather changes have come into the forecast at this point now and who might get lucky, because so many times we watch, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, wasn't it like this probably 20 years ago, like the Tiger was still going for his slam at that point and got caught in some of the worst weather you will ever see at the British Open and ruined his entire round. He just got bad luck there. That happens at the Open more than any other location where it's like, hey, you know what? I escaped today with a 67, like, to lead this. And then the rains and the wind came where nobody could climb up and actually took a step back. I want to see if that could be a case today, because we talked to Keith yesterday and the weather and the wind, and certainly more importantly, the, you know, rain is going to be in this forecast. But I obviously, what do we root for just as golf fans? Give me a really good leaderboard on Saturday into Sunday. We can all live with that here. Now, the interesting part about the Open as well is they've been teeing off since 1:30 a.m. Eastern this morning, and there's still a quarter of the field that hasn't even teed off just yet as we sit here at 8:15 Eastern. So I'm excited that we have something live going on right now in a major championship, but it is interesting to see the moves going back and forth. But again, talking about Phil Mickelson basically being close to the top 10 after round number one, those are the fun stories that we like to talk about early on to see if some of those old timers can hang in there in the Open and play crafty golf.
And again, it's early for us here on the early line. It's early here on the East Coast stateside. But for those, it's a little bit later in this window now for those afternoon and even early evening tee times over there in Northern Ireland. DRS, still some very notable golfers about to tee off. How about Captain America, a PGA Tour winner this season? Player captain, Keegan Bradley, he tees off in just about 10 minutes. A little bit later on, when we are live here on TEL, ahead of Keith Stewart joining us in our third and final hour. Bobby Mack, the Scott, who loves Lynx golf. Robert McIntyre at 9:48 alongside Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Rose, who gave us a thrill at the PGA Championship. Jordan Spieth, Ludvig Åberg, and Victor Hovland, a marquee group at 9:59. And of course, DRS, all eyes on Rory McIlroy from Northern Ireland. In Northern Ireland, holds the course record at Royal Portrush just down the road from his home. A 61 fired when he was 16 years old. He tees off at 10:10 a.m. Eastern time, trying to win half of our four majors this year in men's golf.
It'd be pretty impressive if he can do that. No better place to do it, basically, than at home where you're familiar with it and you have the opportunity to play that golf course, certainly, which he does. But a lot of people not talking about Rory so much to win this week. Was in it last week in the Scottish Open, sort of fell back on the final day. But, hey, taking a decent finish away, getting your legs there, per se, overseas, that's not a bad option here. But also, how would you like to be, Ben? Like, we talk about, like, the first guys to tee off. It's like, all right, you're going to start the tournament. How would you feel if, like, you're the last group to tee off, like 11-16A? Again, that's the last of it here. You know exactly what those scores are as you charge down here. You try to beat the sunlight as you get involved. But open golf is always interesting because why? The golf courses don't look like they do in the United States. And certainly the temperatures out there certainly aren't the same midsummer playing on the PGA Tour. It's a lot of fun to watch it play out.
Mid-July, they are right on the coast there in Northern Ireland. You can literally walk into the ocean off basically every tee box that you will see this week at the Open. DRS, a weather update, as I do have some eyes, don't tell anybody, on the screen right now to my right. Does not look great. Wind has picked up. Umbrellas are out. Not full rain gear, not a downpour by any means, but even the cameras for the broadcast have a couple of sprinkles and drops on them. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, just fired one into number 10. He's got about 8 feet for birdie to get back to 2 under par. And DRS, of course, anytime Scottie Scheffler is performing well, and he is such a short pre-tournament favorite, his live odds are going to drop drastically. The number pre-tournament on Scheffler, plus 450, now plus 260. Does he have the desire to win? It's what everybody is asking after his introspective presser earlier in the week. Certainly seems like it early, plus 260. Rory's number entering the start of the tournament, although he is not teed off, 7-1. That's where it remains. John Rahm had the third best price at 12-1, still third best. But now that he is under par, despite just bogeying, I believe, number 9, his first bogey on the card today, Rahm's still the third best number at 9-1.
I need Scheffler to go like full like villain mode now. Like win the Open Championship and don't show up and take the claret jug. Just go say, all right, look, I had to get home. I had dinner plans. Like, hey, enjoy it. Somebody else carry the jug around. Just send me my paycheck because this doesn't mean anything to me. It's 2 minutes after the tournament, right, Ben? So that's when his good times expire on winning that tournament. I did hear that conversation, or should I say the interview in full yesterday. It even sounds more ridiculous than the actual clip that we showed. It just sounds like a guy that should just retire today, go down and live on the Alabama coast or live somewhere in North Carolina, relax with your kids and just enjoy the rest of your life. Because it's apparent that he's not getting much enjoyment out of golf anymore. He's probably every tee box. I hate these players. I hate these clubs. I hate my caddy. I hate this camera. Come on, Scotty, get over it, man.
I don't think that was his overall point, but again, at times, I'm not sure he articulated the point that well. Probably needed a couple of, I still have that burning desire and the passion as a fiery competitor to go out there and win. They talked about it with Patrick Harrington yesterday, of course, the Irishman who won an Open Championship and I guess just won the U.S. Senior Open. He's like, anytime I can, it's been months, I still talk about winning because I love the feeling behind
it.
So even
there
in the golf world, his fellow competitors, a little bit different. Yeah. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Big news yesterday around the association featuring the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers. Bradley Beal, DRS, bought out of the remainder of his deal in Phoenix and intends to sign a 2-year, $11 million deal with L.A. Again, the Clippers adding some veteran firepower, the 32-year-old Beal, to their starting five and another offensive threat from the scoring perspective. If this deal happened in 2018, the Clippers would be the championship favorites. L.A. is still not, despite the acquisition of Beal yesterday. But you say Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, and Bradley Beal, and it does kind of hearken the idea that L.A. is going for it out in the Western Conference. Of course, Father Time and injuries and health could be a big conversation for the Clippers once again. What do you make of Bradley Beal now joining the Clips?
Yeah, going for it, maybe going for the early bird buffet there at what, 4 p.m. where you can get like a 2-for-1. Like, I don't know what we're going for at this point now because it hasn't worked out in the past. Like, what is going to change? Like, are we also understanding that Kawhi Leonard is mysteriously going to play 75 games next year, be extremely healthy once he gets to the playoffs? And James Harden, who's a great basketball player, but he's fighting father time as well. Bradley Beal's never won anything in the NBA. He's going to be that missing piece to put you over the top. Like, remember the 1980 Phillies, all those struggles in the late 1970s, Mike Schmidt and the boys, Larry Boa couldn't get over the top. Oh, they got Pete Rose. Why? Because he's a known winner and showed them exactly what it takes to get done, and they won it in 1980. That's not the case here. Like, hey, we're bringing in Bradley Beal. Yeah. He's like Robert Ory. He's got like 10 championships. He can walk us through some tough spots. He knows nothing about winning. He knows about collecting a paycheck and getting his. That's it. So now he goes to L.A. It's like, hey, man, I look up in the rafters in Los Angeles. Yeah, you used to at the Staples Center back in the day when all of those banners said Los Angeles Lakers. And now you go to the Intuit Dome and you look around. Is there a single banner in that place? Or are they still hanging like Blake Griffin, like monster posters up in the top so you can take a look and cover up the old Laker banners? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing with L.A.? This doesn't move the needle at all for me. Is it a decent move at a price? Yes. But the people getting excited that Bradley Beal went to L.A. does nothing for me. It's like the Russell Westbrook effect where no matter where Russ Westbrook went, he is going to clog up the spotlight, want to get his, and could give a damn about winning. That's Bradley Beal in a nutshell.
Yeah, so DRS, Bradley Beal has had a very interesting NBA career. He was the third overall pick by the Wizards. There was a lot of hype at the time in the nation's capital. John Wall, Bradley Beal, could these two dynamic guards lead Washington to relevancy we had not seen in a very long time? The answer in 11 years for Beal, no. But the answer was also filled with a ton of dollar signs and large payouts. There was hope for Bradley Beal joining Kevin Durant and Devin Booker in the Valley to be a true championship contender in Phoenix. Did not happen. In fact, in his last 2 years, DRS, with the Suns, Bradley Beal averaged 18.2 points per game in 2023-24, 2 years ago. Last year came off the bench, which was a big story, and averaged 17 points per game. That was the first time in nearly a decade that Bradley Beal averaged fewer than 20 points per game, because in his final 7 years with the Wizards, when he was an All-Star three times, he averaged at least 23 points per game each and every season for those 7 years prior to when he joined the Suns. So what exactly are we getting out of Bradley Beal, who turned 32 earlier this summer? 15 points a game? Great. If you ask me, and this might sound crazy, as a complimentary piece to Kawhi Leonard and James Harden with the emergence of the big man in the front court, Ameeta Zubats, I would rather have Norm Powell, Big Will, to spread the floor than I would Bradley Beal.
It comes down to this. Like, it's simple. Like, the NBA explains things in contractual terms, if that makes sense, Ben. That means what? Bradley Beal is so good that a team goes, brother, here's $100 million just please leave. That's all I need to see. You're not buying out good basketball players at hundreds of millions of dollars because you thought that guy could play and somebody else is going to get a steal. Buyer beware of what you get for the Clippers. You just got a player, once again, that an organization said, here is $100 million. Damn it, just get out of here.
Playing exactly 53 games did Beal in each of his 2 years with the Phoenix Suns. Again, first 11 in Washington, last two with Phoenix. DRS, there is a player option involved in that two-year contract that Bradley Beal will sign in Los Angeles for not this upcoming season, of course, but for the final year of the deal in 2026-27. Shams Charania yesterday tweeting out that player option is vital. Beal could become one of the top free agents at this time next summer. Really? At 33 years old? If he's one of the top free agents, free agency might be dead in the NBA. So what does it mean for the Clippers? More on that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bradley Beal is now a Los Angeles Clipper, joining Kawhi Leonard and James Harden and Ivica Zubac under head coach Tyronn Lue. Does it mean that the LA Clippers, the RS, are a true contender in the Western Conference? The win total for LA this year is 49.5. Can they go over that? Sure. They've had 50-plus wins each of the past 2 years. They were the 5 seed in the Western Conference this previous season, the 4 seed with home floor advantage in the opening round of the playoffs in 2023-24. But can they put a scare, a fright, into the 10-1 number to win the West? The 17-1 number to win an NBA championship? I would say no. In the 5 years currently under Ty Lue, the LA Clippers have made the postseason 4 of those 5 years. First year, hot like a rocket. They made the Western Conference Finals, but still came up short of the NBA Finals. The Clippers, as a franchise, DRS, have never reached the NBA Championship Series. The last 3 years in a row, a first-round exit for Kawhi, Harden, and Ty Lue in LA. Are they a playoff team? Yeah. Might they even see the second round? Okay. Are they going to have any time there is value on that 10-1 number to win the West? Right here, right now, I would say not so much.
Yeah, they're all in their mid-30s, right? The primetime players that you're talking about once they sort of like, you know, hit their birthdays, which are coming up before the season, Harden, Beal, and Leonard we're talking about. So here's what we say. If you're a veteran-laden team, the goal is not actually the regular season, Ben. It's getting your veteran-laden team healthy and still being energized by the time you get to the playoffs. So I see that 49.5. My first inclination is to bet the under, because I don't think that shows a successful season if they got 54 wins. A successful season to me is they're in the playoffs and you still have Harden, Beal, and Leonard that are not under duress of playing 79 games apiece here and are out of gas and or injured at the end of the season. So if they want to make a run at the conference championship, at the NBA championship here, I think it's in their best interest to actually go under the 49.5, which means you gave ample rest to Harden, Beal, and Leonard in hopes that they're healthy by the time you get to the playoffs. Because typically we talk about the Clippers making a playoff run without their superstars. That's a tough Western Conference to begin with, and you don't win a championship in the regular season. You don't win a championship because you fought for the 3 seed and wound up maybe with the 6 seed here because you overplayed your players. Just get to the playoffs and get healthy. So for me, I look at the 49.5 and say, I want the Clippers to be below that because that means we rested our starters accordingly, hoping that they would be healthy for that run in the playoffs.
Right. Is home court advantage in the opening round worth something? Sure. Might it be the deciding factor for LA when health is going to be the number one prerogative and priority for this veteran-laden backcourt of Kawhi Leonard, James Harden? Well, Kawhi's kind of like a small forward. He can play wherever. Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, and Bradley Beal, a very different story. Our guy, Big Will, Norm Powell, no longer there with the LA Clippers. You know who has had the best win shares, basically war, wins above replacement, most valuable player for an NBA team two of the last 4 years? It's the center. Ivica Zubac, who has done a great job kind of as that burgeoning young talent, not so young anymore, in the front court for the Clippers. Again, did Bradley Beal really move the needle? 11-1 for LA to win the Western Conference before the Beal acquisition. Take a dollar off, 10-1, tied for the 5th best price alongside the Minnesota Timberwolves. The RS from the NBA to the WNBA. Yesterday, a 5-game slate to end out the opening half ahead of the All-Star break in the W. And some really big news as all eyes turn to Indianapolis for our All-Star festivities this weekend in Indy. Again, Indianapolis, Caitlin Clark, the Fever playing host to All-Star weekend. But the story this year, sadly for CeCe, has been dealing with injuries that have plagued her second year in the W, that have not plagued basically the entirety of her basketball career prior. She missed her 11th game yesterday as the Fever took on the New York Liberty entering the All-Star break. 6th game now, DRS, in the last 3 weeks plus. dealing with a groin injury that she re-aggravated at the end of Tuesday night's game for Indiana. Not a great sign for Caitlin Clark, still dealing with that groin injury. Imaging is what caused her to miss last night, but it certainly puts her status in doubt for all that was planned this weekend for Clark and the Fever in Indy.
Yeah, it's a shame, too, because, again, the brightest stars at the All-Star game, that's why people want to tune in and watch. So when you look at the rest of the season, it's up to the Indiana Fever to save maybe Caitlin Clark from herself. Now, we also saw some of the indications of, you know, Caitlin and her team. Like, and that the team, I don't think actually meant to be the Indiana Fever, the team around her. So what are we actually doing? Like, it's up to her. It should be up to the team by saying, hey, look, we need you down the stretch. We want to win a championship. The only way we do that is if you're healthy. I understand for your brand purposes in the WNBA, yeah, they'd like to see you out there making a cameo appearance, but you should just be getting as healthy as you can off your feet, resting and rehab here, as opposed to trying to put on a show. Because the one thing you let athletes up to playing, they'll play. And specifically with these injuries, it's one thing we say, I have a broken bone and a cast. I can't play. But it's hard to tell an athlete, like, well, I'm not used to a groin injury. I'm not used to a hamstring injury or a quad injury. I can tough these out. You can't tough out muscle tissue injuries because they always get worse. The only way they heal is 100% complete. Then you get back out on the court. But athletes are not used to these injuries, feel like they can play through it. And that's what we're getting, right? The quad, the hamstring, now the groin. What else is next?
It's really unfortunate, DRS, because you mentioned those soft tissue injuries. First, the left quad strain for Caitlin Clark. Now she has missed in total 6 games with this groin injury. Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see her status. And to your point, DRS, for All-Star Weekend, head coach of the Fever, Stephanie White, was talking about CC's status for last night's game inside the Barclays Center. They asked her, what is her status for the All-Star festivities? She is a captain of one of the All-Star squads in competition against Nafisa Collier on the other side. She is expected to compete in the three-point contest, her first in her 2 years in the WNBA. And Stephanie White basically said, listen, that's not really our decision. It is up to Clark and her team, meaning her agency and her representation. Of course, though, DRS, with Steph White saying that, Indiana is going to have a voice at that in that conversation, a seat at that table, if you will. They will recommend, like, hey, we're going to need Caitlin Clark here for the stretch run as we make our playoff push. Indiana got hammered last night in Brooklyn, losing to the reigning champs in the New York Liberty by 21, 98-77. They were a 10-point dog without Clark on the floor. Didn't really come close to making that a tightly contested game. Indiana at the end of the opening half, 12-11 DRS. They sit sixth in the WNBA standings, now 13 teams, now a 44-game season in the W. The Fever would be comfortably in the playoffs as of this moment, but it's not like they've got a 5-game lead for a playoff spot. And, of course, they're trying to work their way up those standings to maybe host a couple of playoff games early on in the opening rounds.
Yeah, we can always play devil's advocate as well. Like, the WNBA is actually happy that Caitlin Clark will miss the festivities here for the All-Star game and even be more overjoyed if they don't make the playoffs and have to talk about her or deal with her anymore at this point. But understanding this, you want that higher paycheck, like we're looking at for those CBAs that we're going to be arguing over the next couple of years on what the WNBA players should make. You better hope Caitlin Clark's in that All-Star game. You better hope they make the playoffs, because the one thing networks look at and people look at are ratings of games and the players and the teams that play in those games. Those determine how much money you're going to make in the next round of negotiations. But it is selfish for us to say, we want to see her in the All-Star game. We want to see her down the stretch. Nothing matters for the Fever if she's hobbled. They're not going to win anything, and she's not going to put on her best performances here. It's up to them just to shut it down. Like, we've seen this many times. Like, Joel Embiid has gone to All-Star games where his knee's blown up like a balloon. Like, well, I want to go and have the parties and be an All-Star. And she's like, well, what can we do about it? You go to the Olympic games here. Joel Embiid, boy, it would be nice if you rested the whole summer. I want to be in the Olympics. Well, what can we do about it? Just the way it is. Sometimes superstars rule the roost and they tell the teams what I'm doing. You don't like it? Well, you know what? When my contract's up, I'm just going to leave. How about that? Okay, do whatever you want.
Yeah, we'll see what Clark ends up doing. Again, her first festivity is Friday as of this moment, scheduled for that three-point contest. But DRS, to your point about the CBA, there's been reports that a lockout, a work stoppage could happen entering the 2026 WNBA season because the two sides seem very far apart, the players and the league. Clark was going to represent some of the players in those conversations this weekend as well. Plenty more around the W next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A five-game slate around the WNBA to end out the final day of action. Now we are in the All-Star break in the WA week of All-Star festivities. First in Atlanta in Major League Baseball. This weekend in Indianapolis for the W. Of course, our conversation in the last segment focused around the injury status of Caitlin Clark, putting her status up in the air for any of the All-Star festivities or the All-Star game on Saturday night. But let's get to the action yesterday, DRS. No Angel Reese for the Chicago Sky at home during camp day. And oh boy, the Atlanta Dream took advantage. 86-49. The Dream easily cover as an 11.5-point road favorite with an early start. Injuries have been an issue for the Phoenix Mercury entering here this All-Star break. No Satu Sabally for Phoenix. No Kalia Copper for the Mercury as well in the final few games ahead of the break. And without both of those yesterday on the road in Minneapolis against the league's best team in the Lynx, Minnesota made a statement. Double-digit favorite, they win by 13. The Lynx in regular season games remain perfect at home, DRS, in the Twin Cities. They are 12-0 at home. They have the league's best record, the only team to 20 wins at the break, now 20-4.
Let me ask you a question here, Ben. The Chicago Sky game. Angel Reese did not play. What was the reason for that?
Yeah.
What was it? Do we know?
She had an injury of sorts. I don't know what the actual injury was, but she was listed out with an injury.
All right. So let's just see if All-Star game's coming up. Did she make the All-Star game? Like, is she in the All-Star game? I would assume so. Is she supposed to play in the All-Star game this weekend in the festivities? Is the expectation?
I would assume so, yes.
Yeah, because here's what I'm getting at, because I always look like the bigger picture. Like, it's camp day. So when it's camp day, what happens usually with the arena? It's usually a sellout, but what is it going to be? All the kids, like the kids that love that sport, and like, man, I want to see my favorite player. Like, if this is one of those instances, like, you know what, we'll just throw a leg injury on this and she'll sit this one out. They'll get blown out at home. The kids came to see probably just her play in this game. Then she reappears in the All-Star game. That's what I'm waiting to see. If she misses the All-Star game, I'm like, you know what? That was a legit injury at that point. But there's ways that you do business and ways that you, like, look forward to it. And that's one of those where I understand it's a noon game and people still pay tickets at night. But that's specifically a day for kids to show up in that city and cheer on their absolute favorite player. And she didn't play. It's not a knock on her, because I'm sure it's, you know, kids day, man. You know, forget them kids. You know what I mean? I don't care about them. I just want to get to the All-Star break. But understand the type of business that you're in. That is a massive day to create a fan base that's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 that can go to that game and be like, you know what? I saw Angel Reese. Man, that's such a fun sport. I'm a WNBA fan for the rest of my life. And I'm not saying that the kids are going there disappointed, because they're excited to go to the big arena and watch, you know, professional basketball. But when your favorite player is probably who you were going to see in Chicago, doesn't play in that game because it was a rest sort of day, that misses it, man. That misses it for me.
So I guess DRS will be paying close attention to the All-Star game on Saturday to see what Angel Reese does. There you go. Maybe kids are mad, but Donnie is now more tuned in to the W as well. We had three. What?
What do they usually say about them kids? Was it like a saying, like, that's like a meme on like Twitter and social media about them kids? Yeah. What do they say?
Help those kids. Help them kids.
Cultivate. No.
You might have been thinking, we can't say that on a family-friendly program. Anyway, the Storm hosted the Valkyries yesterday in some more early camp day action. Seattle picks up a win. As we shared earlier, no Caitlin Clark for the Fever. They got blown out in Brooklyn. DRS, the New York Liberty started perfect. 9-0 are two reigning teams that played in the WNBA Finals last year. The Lynx and the Liberty, the two top teams now at the All-Star break. New York started 9-0, entered yesterday's Sunday's game against Indiana. 5-6 since. They now enter the All-Star break winners of three straight. They have been doing battle without Jonquel Jones, who is a critical factor. But when Breanna Stewart, our reigning WNBA MVP, goes out there and drops 24 points, 11 boards, 7 dimes, and 4 blocks, yeah, that's going to lead to a big night for the Liberty.
Yeah, no, look, tough games before the break, Ben. Do we actually, like, handicap in those? Because I don't handicap WNBA games. The reason I ask this is, like, the day before, like, the All-Star break, I wonder if it's as crazy as it's supposed to be. Now, as I look at some of the final scores, not really. Like, the Dream are a better team than the Sky without their players, right? The Lynx are a really good team and better than Mercury. They handle their business. The Storm, better record than the Valkyries. They handle their business. The Liberty, playing the Fever yesterday without their best player, smashed them. And then the Aces, obviously better than the Wings. What was that line in that game? Let me see here real quick if I can search that up. It was -6.5. So they didn't cover, but they still won. Yeah. So not the craziness that you might think, like, hey, vacation time, we're going to party for a couple days, I'm just looking to get out of town. Everybody really held serve yesterday, which is interesting. Just filing that away for maybe if I do bet the WNBA at an All-Star break, this might be one of those guidelines. Like, hey, didn't really matter.
Stewie, the MVP in 2023, excuse me. Our reigning MVP is Asia Wilson, who has won two of the previous three, and she is looking like an MVP when her Las Vegas team has needed her. 37-10 last night, following a 34-16 performance. The Aces have won two straight. DRS entering the break. They are back to an even 500 at 11-11. They beat the Dallas Wings yesterday by 490-86, but as you alluded to, did not cover on the road in Dallas as a 6.5-point favorite. Paige Beckers, another 20-point performance, maybe not her most efficient from the floor, 9 of 24. Paige Beckers, the very hefty favorite, DRS, to win WNBA Rookie of the Year at -6,000. In the 18 games she has played for Dallas this season, she has now scored 20 in nine of those 18, half of them as things are. She is going to win Rookie of the Year. She has had a great season. Nafisa Collier, as you saw there, the best player for the best team in the W, a -550 favorite to win WNBA MVP.
Hey, by the way, also off the chart here, like the MVP, Rookie of the Year, I take a look at the Rookie of the Year, Quinterly. If she possibly has a chance to win that, if maybe, third round draft pick, Ben, you look through the injuries there, the last six games, 15, 17, 18, 16, 13, and 17 for the Wings at this point right now, playing really good basketball. Usually it's like, hey, the first round, then we don't care about anybody else. How about a third round draft pick, Ben, hooping out with the chance right now? Maybe a gem out there. I got to ask JY about this one.
Love that, DRS. The two teams that squared off in the WNBA Finals last year expected to be back. +170, the New York Liberty, the favorites. The best team in the W, the Minnesota Lynx, at a +210 price. We'll get into some NFL news and notes on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
NFL news and notes to end out our opening hour, but it is a day in July, which is a month of football. In fact, exactly 2 weeks from this very day, we will have our first football game, albeit a preseason one of the 2025 NFL campaign. It's the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. The Chargers sent their veterans to training camp yesterday, the first team to have the vets report in plenty of teams yesterday and on Tuesday as well, sending those rookies to training camp. Basically, by next Wednesday, DRS, 6 days from right now, we're going to have every team reporting to training camp.
Do we have any reports today?
Beautiful. What?
We have any, like, we should have like an update of like who's in, who's not in training camp right now, right? Like, I know we got the Chargers updates where their veterans came in. Did we get any rookies coming today? Like, did we get into, like, who's, like, in camp? So I could start, like, building that, like, you know, all right, we're all in business now. Like, what about today?
Oh, wait, here we go. Let's run through it. Let's run through the rookies that have already showed up. The Ravens.
Yes.
The Bills.
Okay. I like it.
The Broncos. The Lions.
Ooh. All right.
Today, the Raiders show up as well. Ashton Jeffrey, favorite to win offensive rookie of the year. The Dolphins. The Giants. The Niners. The Seahawks. And then tomorrow, the Commanders. So we've actually got a decent amount of the league. I didn't do the quick math as I was speaking, but I'd say at least 10 to 12 teams that are already sending their rookies to training camp.
By the way, also, do we lose a little bit of luster now when we had the training camp? And the reason I ask that is, like, growing up as a kid, just from my own perspective, the Philadelphia Eagles, they were at Westchester University, which is just out in, like, the Philadelphia suburbs, where they would go as a team 2.5, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and they would play there. And then they went up to Lehigh, and they would go up to Bethlehem, PA, you know, take over the campus here, the outdoor practices. It was almost like a rite of passage. Like, you saw, like, they would put the cameras out, like the parking lots, and like, okay, in comes Hollis Thomas. Here's Donovan McNabb. Here's Javon Kearse. And they could see them, like, one by one go in. And they understood, like, these mega millionaires are, like, staying, like, unconditioned, under-air-conditioned, like, you know, resident halls that college football players would be in or students would be in. And it was almost like that rite of passage. You go away, and you come back as a team. Some teams still do go away for their camps, but the Philadelphia Eagles, just like 75% at least percent of the NFL, they just go into their own normal facility. Now, it does make sense from a dollar standard. Like, look, we have all the best equipment here. We don't have to transform a new war room up at the camp, and, you know, the accommodations are much better. I understand that, but there was something about the camaraderie of we're going away for 3 weeks and we're coming back as a football team that you sort of lose out on just a little bit. And also, like, I guess they're going home to, like, their family at night, which you didn't do that in camp. You were away for 3 weeks. It was just you and the boys for those 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's a good point, DRS. Not many teams kind of go to a different site that is not their facility or their home ballpark, so to say. A couple of the teams that still do, the Steelers, they make their way to La Trobe each and every year at St. Vincent College. You have the Kansas City Chiefs that go on their way, as I try to find it, to Missouri Western State University.
Who goes to Mankato? Do the Vikes still go away? Like, because remember, they used to go, like, Mankato or something like that. Dallas goes still to the, like, wine country. I know
Dallas
that.
Still goes.
But not a lot of teams do it anymore.
Dallas still goes to Oxnard. The Vikings, it says TCO Performance Center in Egan, Minnesota. So, no, I don't believe they make their way up to Mankato, Minnesota.
Man, they used to. Tough scene at that point.
Egan's pretty close to the Twin Cities. One of my good friends from Omaha, from Egan. Great football player, Brett Nierengarten.
Wow.
Different story.
Where'd
different
he go to college?
One of the veterans, DRS, who should show up in Ashburn. He was pretty good for Egan back in the day. Who should show up in Ashburn, Virginia in just a few days for the Commanders training camp, that being Von Miller, signing a deal with Washington yesterday. 36 years old, spent the previous three seasons in Buffalo, has played 13 years in his NFL career, an 8-time Pro Bowler, a 7-time All-Pro performer. His last All-Pro season, 2018. His last Pro Bowl season, 2019. Is he still delivering on that level as a 2-time Super Bowl champ? Maybe not. Can he make an impact for the Commanders? I'd say yes.
He might, and again, sometimes more of the impact, Ben, will come from the locker room itself. Like, I'm a 2-time champion. I know what it takes to get it done. I can teach you some pass rushing moves. Like, hey, do you watch me in my prime? Maybe I'm not my prime anymore, but I can certainly show you what it was like to be in my prime and how you can use those skills. Because if anybody remembers Von Miller, like, he's still a really good football player, probably at the end of it. Yeah. But his seasons with the Denver Broncos, he was absolutely wrecking games all by himself. One of the best to do it. Hall of Famer down the line. Still trying to chase down another ring in Washington now.
And as DRS mentioned, the Commanders, despite having the rookie quarterback who won Offensive Rookie of the Year last year, the oldest team in the NFL, 27 years, 247 days, the average age, and they just got a little bit older with Von Miller yesterday. Hour two, next.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.